You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. I'm looking at my screen, Skulk. I'm torn between two feelings here. The JSE's all share index up 1 1/3%, but the headlines are down many percent in metaphorical terms, if you see what I mean. Bad news out from AngloGold Ashanti because they're getting out the country, Tiger Brands, and from Barlow World and everything else, and Eskom and all that sort of stuff, and yet the market doing very well. What is your take on today?
It's pretty much like that story about the guy that jumped out of the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And as he falls, he suddenly realized, shucks, my parachute's not working. And then he realized, oh, but don't worry. I've got a spare. So he pulls the spare, and the spare is full of holes. And eventually they say, and I can go on with this story, you know, pretty much till 10 o'clock tonight. The bottom line is it's sort of like my favorite Chinese dish. It's a sweet and sour day.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with the sweet. I mean, a market being up 1.34% is great. I mean, the rand is somewhat weaker. I mean, we're talking about 30 basis points weaker for today. So this is not a rand-related movement in the market. This is a stronger South African market. You know, so 1.34% is good. But I mean, the figures that back that. I mean, the figures and the stories. I mean, you were alluding to Anglo Ashanti getting out of the market, you know, selling some of their mines to Harmony. Tiger Brands, I mean, that's just a horrible, horrible story. But there's also good stories. I mean, MTN clearly showing that they're on track. I think that, you know, being 6% up today, good story. I know a lot of people were worried last night. I followed social media last night in connection with MTN, and it was sort of, again, the sweet and sour story. You know, most people were saying, well, you know, yes, look at MTN's results. That is not good. You know, that's quite a miss. But once you just remember that the accounting standards they used, when you and I had this discussion, I think 2 weeks ago, you know, on the new accounting standards, they are following the new, you know, IFRS 17 or IFRS 16 accounting standards. And that basically meant if you take the old, let's call it accounting standards, that basically meant that they bang on target, reaching that let's call it 10 to 15% growth in EPS for this year, which I don't think is very bad. I mean, I thought it was good. Add that to the fact that they're trading at a 6% dividend yield, and also add to that where MTN mentioned lately that they're going to be selling off some of these towers and could be generating up to 60 billion, you know, rand. So, I mean, this is a good story. I think it suddenly changes MTN from a, you know, a company that's been hammered by bad news, regulatory bad news, Nigerian bad news. Suddenly there is some good news, and definitely reflected in the price today, 6% up.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think it's just accounting niceties that I don't understand because I'm not a chartered accountant, I'm not a bookkeeper? Do you think there's an element of that? Because I did read it yesterday, I tried to, and my mind immediately sort of fogged and my eyes glassed over. Do you think there's any accounting niceties that have skewed those results? Or do you think that all the bad news, particularly with reference to Nigeria, is out the way, and on we go from here? Not to a new high, not to anything spectacular, but just to stabilize itself to a long-term average.
It's still one of our biggest companies on the JSE, and a company that I want to call my own. It's like the pocket.
Comparing MTN to the South African Springboks. Is that what you're saying to me? Come on now.
Been very active with the Lions and rugby. So, I mean, let's not do it's not it's apples with pears. I'm just saying this is a true South African story that was born in South Africa and has made a solid footprint in the rest of Africa. I mean, we've looked at a few companies lately that clearly, when they bring out the results, they say, well, locally it's been iffy because we're struggling economically. But you know, when we look at beyond the borders of South Africa into the rest of Africa, we've been struggling. I'm talking about companies like ShopRite. I'm talking about companies like MultiChoice. I mean, there's a few companies that struggle. MTN has successfully, you know, broadened their horizons. They've moved into Africa. So, yes, they've been hammered with regulatory environments. They Nigeria, there was the first the $5 billion fine, which was eventually reduced to 150 million rand fine. And end of last year, the 2 billion rand tax fine was also said, well, okay, that's now gone for now as well. So I think most of the bad news is out of MTN, but naturally, I mean, there's always some smoke hanging over the company, you know, looking at Afghanistan or Iran or whatever. I just think from a pure value basis, this company is looking a lot more attractive at the current, let's call it 80-85 rand levels compared to the 110 rand levels where it was trading at in August last year, which I don't think we might even see again this year. So I think it's just it's some good news, and I think that the shareholders are telling us exactly, or they're called the traders today, is telling us exactly the same thing.
Okay.
6% up.
Simple answer now. Vodacom, MTN, or Telkom long term?
Okay, so both you and I agree that I think Telkom will be the most risky and the one that's way behind. So
okay.
When we talk about MTN, Vodacom, I must say it's two different type of companies. It's the one is a nice little cash cow, and I think for the income earner, I think that will be typically your Vodacom type of client. Because, but you need to ask yourself the question: what progress has Vodacom made to beyond the borders of South Africa? Now, when I'm talking about progress, I'm talking about successful progress, and I think their MTN to a certain extent is still ahead. But then again, you need to look at MTN. So questions: what are they going to do with the money? They're going to sell off some towers. They're going to get quite a bit of cash. Are they going to give that cash back to shareholders, or are they going to go into areas like fintech, like e-commerce, those type of thing? And I do think, looking at Dropshirt, and I don't think enough is said about him as a CEO. I think he's a very, very strong leader, and it's evident in what has happened in MTN over the last few years. So I think from a growth perspective, I think I might lean to MTN, but well, Vodacom is also a solid income earner.
That was your short answer, was it?
You want to give them a long one?
Barlow World Tiger Brands and Gold Shares today. Those are the ones in focus. You've referenced to a couple of these things. But Barlow World, I've done it on a couple of occasions on other podcasts during the day. And I've read the first sentence from the divisional operational updates. And goodness me, it's this has happened, it's not good. That has happened, not very good at all. The future not looking particularly good either. And the share price, of course, absorbed all this news. But Barlow World doesn't look great.
No, I think it's extremely reflective of the areas they find themselves in. You know, Barlow World, you're looking locally, they clearly say they've been hammered by a local economy that's not looking good. I think, you know, when you look at global overall sales, we're down for the period, and they say that's not just attributed to South Africa. That is just globally. So we also know that they are active in places like Russia, which also just is emerging country. So emerging countries haven't done well. So I think we can't expect Barlow World to be flourishing. I would ever look at this company as a possible recovery stock. I'm not invested yet, but it's something I would definitely put on my radar. I mean, the fact that you said that they've absorbed it, it tells you that this company is not necessarily let's call it overvalued territory. And it's a well-managed company, well-oiled machine.
Tiger Brands, you mentioned, it doesn't look great. The only thing I like about it is that perhaps because of the PepsiCo Pioneer deal being ratified, although with conditions that I don't think PepsiCo would have expected when they first started sniffing around, maybe Tiger Brands is the next on the list. But I would think, as a previous commentator said, just watch out for those conditions, because that could put future buyers of South African companies off completely.
That is absolutely the nail on its head. I mean, I think, you know, in general, do I think it's this ever put the transaction in jeopardy? I don't necessarily think so, because I do think that PepsiCo is getting a great deal, you know, buying Pioneer Foods. But you are so right. I mean, any big international company looking at investing in South Africa is going to look at that conditions. I mean, that is some serious conditions. I think a figure of about 1.6 billion or something like that. But I mean, that's serious conditions, you know, in terms of what hoops they will need to jump to comply.
And just very simplistically, it's a BEE deal, and it's you can't sack people. It's as simple as that. And that is just unbelievable. I mean, that is just, I don't know, it's almost like a corporate dictatorship.
There's so many things I can answer, but I mean, we're not in charge of the country currently. From my side, I mean, I do think that it's a definite, you know, threat for any future businesses. But I mean, let's get back to Tiger Brands. I think that does not exclude any future deals, because one thing that Tiger Brands mentioned, and let's just touch on them, because a few listeners, I don't know if you've spoken to anybody else on Tiger Brands, but Tiger Brands is a big miss. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. When we look at what they effectively said is what was expected. They're looking at an EPS, earnings per share, that's going to be lower, 36%, at least. That was the word.
Yes.
At least 36%. Now, when you look at that, that basically implies that they're looking at a EPS, base case scenario, of R553 per share. Now, for all the listeners out there, when we look at the consensus currently, consensus out there up to this morning was for the same period, which is basically 31st March 2020, was R7.46.
That's about a 40% miss. I'm sorry.
That is a massive, massive, massive miss. I'm actually quite surprised that we saw a little bit of a pullback this afternoon, because, I mean, earlier today, the share price opened, I think it was open about 7.5% to 8% down, and it eventually ended just shy of 6% down. But, I mean, that is a massive, massive miss. But we need to look at, you know, just look at a few things that I think might be something that I will be looking out for. The one thing that they mentioned in that report was they reported that several non-binding offers were made for value-added meat products. Now, don't listen to the value-added meat products. I would listen to the non-binding offers that was made. Now, we're talking about Pioneer. Somewhere along the line, you know, Tiger Brands is also going to get in a scenario where an international big company like a PepsiCo will identify Tiger Brands, and the offers will be made, because it's still a well-oiled, and let's not use that again, it's still a fantastic, well-managed food company that's been tested. There's been a few problems, and we still need to see what the final outcome of this whole, let's call it, lawsuit will be. But I still think it's a wonderful company, wonderful products. And I think with the longer haul, definitely, I would say, look at that company, because if you're not going to look at that company, a company like let's call it PepsiCo, sooner or later will.
Okay, let's have a look at the markets now. Dollar Rand is 14.86 ahead of the State of the Nation address, which will be front of mind tomorrow evening. British pound against the Rand is 19.27. Euro Rand is 16.18. Euro dollar. Ooh, the dollar's popped to the upside. The euro has popped to the downside. 108.90, that's a multi-month low, I believe. And that's probably the reason why the rand is also down around about 0.25% in the United States of America. The Dow Jones, what a surprise. All-time record highs, 29,484 at the moment, up 0.7%. Ooh, the S&P, all-time record highs, up 0.4%. And the NASDAQ at an all-time record high, up 0.33%. What a market that is. Thank you, Jay Powell and your team. FTSE up 0.4, DAX up 0.75, CAC 40 in Paris up 0.7%, and so it goes on. Now we've got the South African bond market yields falling by around about 5 basis points each. That's the R186 and the R209. That's important ahead of what's going to happen in the next two to three weeks. The gold price, under pressure because of the strong dollar, 1566, down a couple. The platinum price is 960, down 12. What's palladium doing, please, Skulk?
2,263. So that's
a big move.
Let's call it, So it's down to 2,263, yes.
Okay. In percentage terms, what is that? Because, I mean, it's about $70-$80 or something.
I can get my calculator.
No, no, you don't have to do that. I know you're not very good with your fingers. So let's leave that and go on now.
I'm showing you one now, just by the way.
Thank you very much. I've got two on my side as well. top five major movers, MTN up 6%, Anglo-American plc up 4.75%, Sasol up 4.4%, Vodacom up 3.8%, and Harmony Gold Mining Company is 3 2/3% higher after buying 4.4 billion rands worth.
That's an interesting one.
It is. Yeah, what do you make of that? They snapped those things up for 4.4. Maybe they got a bargain.
Correct. Well, you know what? I think they might have. Because, I mean, if you look at today, we also saw that Shanti Gold brought out it's called their trading statement.
Yes.
And headline earnings per share, you know, the forecast currently is that we're looking at an increase of approximately 62% to 82%, you know, increase in headline earnings per share. At the same moment, we also hear them say, well, okay, that we've now agreed to sell the remaining South African producing assets to Harmony Gold. Now, that's sort of I think the shareholders of Harmony Gold just say, thank you very much. I mean, we're buying into that, you know, that growth cycle. Might be buying at the high levels, but I don't think Harmony got a bad deal. I think that might be an interesting one, and I think might be a good move, you know, when we look 5 to 10 years, you know, from here on, you know, for what Harmony has done.
On the downside, RCL Foods down 10.4%. What's the story there? Is it ex-div or something? RCL Foods. Or is that just a Tiger Brand story or something associated with that?
It's a food story. I think it could be a food story. I don't know. It could be dividends as well. But when we look at it could be a Tiger Brands related story. Yes.
Okay. Massmart down 7%. Now this is a big one. What is going on there? Is that also to do with the food?
So we also had the little thing called
retail sales today. Yeah, not so good.
No, I would say that it was horrible. That's the worst retail figures we've seen, you know, I think since December 2018. I mean, we're looking at negative growth. It's been a horrible. I mean, yes, Massmart was definitely hit the hardest. But let's move off the list and say, well, Spar Group, we're looking at a close to 2% drop. Shoprite down 1.3%. Pepco down 1.3%. So in general, not a good day for retailers in general. And that's why I said that's where we get to the sweet and sour, because markets sort of don't reflect what we've actually felt in the South African economy. And that has clearly been reflected in the retailers for today, and food retailers for that matter, or food producers.
Okay, so we've got RCL and Massmart and Tiger Brands down 5.6%. The third one, the top three losers of the day were all in the food business, and then there's a couple of others. But generally speaking, the mood was quite good when it comes to the big stocks, the overseas stocks listed on the JSE Securities Exchange. But still, I have a feeling of, not woe, but a feeling of disappointment about the headlines I've been reading.
Yeah, I must say it's one of those days where when you look at a let's call it a sectoral green screen, and you don't jump out of your skin. I don't feel good. I mean, when you look at this retail figures, this is bad. When you look at Tiger Brands, you know, when you look at why? I mean, I want to say, why did they have this huge miss? I mean, they contributed firstly saying, you know, driven down by selling price inflation. That was contributed about 4%. And another 4% was in volume. So both of them is actually, you know, when you got, you know, selling price inflation, it just means that they can't increase their food accordingly, and because people are not buying. And when you see your volumes is down, that's just a double whammy. So that just shows us exactly the state of our, you know, South African economy. And again, we need to start kickstarting that soon. We really start needing to kickstart that soon. So all eyes on first tonight, I want to hear what comes out at Sona. And more importantly, when I would like to hear what Tito Mboweni says in 2 weeks' time. So let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope. And let's hope that you can give us the closing indices on the JSE Securities Exchange on this Wednesday, please.
So the All Share, as alluded earlier, that is up 1.34%. Resources had a phenomenal day, up 2.3%.
Very good.
Industrials, I think that would have been better if we didn't see the retail side. That is up 1.03%. And financials, also a very, very good day, up 1.49%.
Skugler is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.